Come on, once again, all across this building, I wonder if you could lift your hands and lift your voice and just begin to love on Jesus one more time. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we give him a good hand clap of praise in this house this morning? Hallelujah. Come on with your hand clap. Why don't you give him a voice praise right now? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I never want to get too busy to be able to just bask in his presence and fall in love with what he's doing. He changeth not. And I am thankful for the presence of the Holy Ghost that we have felt this morning, not only in song, but in a place of worship. And if I could just be very honest this morning, I've sat back and I've watched, and I have mercy is such a wonderful thing, folks. But whenever you are able to really see mercy extending to people, it's a wonderful thing and it's a fearful thing as well. On a Sunday morning, at the close of a year, on the threshold of a new one, I wonder today how many of you have held back already today. And just with the anticipation of service tonight, I wonder if you have held back for the next few moments all across this building, regardless of who's standing beside you, spouse, brother, sister, friend, regardless of that, I wonder if we could all lift our voice in praise to him. Come on, there it is. There it is. Hallelujah. Come on, let him hear your voice. Amen. What a wonderful presence of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this house this morning. I do want to take a moment, if I may, and on the behalf of myself and my family, over the course of the last 13 weeks ago, we lost Brother McLean. And I... 2 weeks afterwards, I went into the hospital, and if you don't believe in miracles, my friend, you're looking at a miracle this morning. I want to say something before I go any further than where I want to be today. I want to say thank you for the prayers. I want to say thank you for the ongoing support that has went forward. But don't you ever discount the voice of your man of God. And I say that, and I don't say that lightly this morning, Pastor Crosswhite. You should be thankful that you still have a man of God that's still willing to say no. Over the course of the last 13 weeks, every Sunday morning, I would receive a text message from Pastor Orland McLean and say, praying for you, Bubba, have church. And this morning as I was setting in the hotel, I began to let my mind wander on how the peace of God places puzzle pieces together. Unbeknownst, he places people in our lives that there is a sound place in men whenever men walk with God. Oh, man. I walked out of my hotel room and I had my bag. Some of y'all are going to think this is funny or foolish, but it's okay. There was a gentleman standing at the elevator, and on his shirt it said, "Today will be marvelous." And to some of you it means nothing, but to me it meant everything. And the kindness of God that he shows toward us. Brother McLean, his coin phrase was, "Everything's marvelous." And I want to say, the kindness that God shows toward us and the mercy that he extends toward us should never be discounted as just another service. Because what if today is our finale? Have we gave him everything? And this morning I feel at home. And I have made jokes in the past that I've thought about taking the travel trailer and just setting it up over there and building a lean-to. I love what I feel. I love this church. Pastor Cross White, to you and your family, I want to personally say thank you for the text messages, the phone calls, and being a voice. Over the last 13 weeks, laying in the hotel room yesterday evening, I began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, would you change what I have felt to preach this morning? And hopefully you will allow me to be home for the next few moments and preach what I really feel, the way that I feel to preach it. Carnality is never the precursor to spirituality. Carnality will always drive you further away from God, even when you still look the part. Carnality, I need somebody to hear me before I get going. Carnality will never push you further than where you are right now to go further in God. It won't. It's anti-scripture. Carnality will never produce fruit. Pastor Crosswhite, I hope I can just preach my heart for a little while. Carnality will make us judge one another. And carnality will be what kills revival.
You're right.
Carnality is what will drive you to the place where there is a wedge driven between you and the church. Between you and leadership. Because when carnality is approached in a spiritual authority, there is one or two choices to be made. It is the understanding that, God, I have not been where you desire for me to be, so I get offensive. Or in that place where spirituality of your headship comes and says, carnality is driving you to a place that is not good for you. There is a place where you can humble yourself, not to a man, but to the authority that God has set in him to say, I am the watchman and I am now coming down off the wall to tell you that the hour is drawing nigh. Get things right. by the help of the Holy Ghost for a little while, I want to preach to a church that I believe in when what really don't matter matters the most. The book of Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs would challenge us to a place where we don't want to acknowledge a challenge, but we still want the relationship. Right. Take us the foxes. Yes. The little foxes that spoil the vine. And then the next six words troubles me to the point where it put me on my face in prayer, because it was written in a place of anticipation. For our vines have tender grapes. They couldn't even see the destruction. They just anticipated that the end result would still produce what they've always done. But now there was an effect that they couldn't recognize until it was too late. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, already. Matthew 24 and 12, a very popular scripture. And because iniquity shall abound, yes, the love of many shall wax cold. If you're going to preach with me for a little while, you may be seated. In the mid-1960s, the Chinese Revolution would come onto the scenes and wreck the lives of millions. The Chinese Central Revolution would get to the place where it would divide families. It would kill dreams. It would kill desires. Many of the Chinese residents would try their best to find a place where they could find hope. They could find a place of solitude. They could run from the dictatorship that was being ushered in that Central Revolution. Many would become unsuccessful and lose their lives in that place of reaching a desirous place of relationship with their family. And I say that in the point that they tried to flee to save what they was given. Right. And a gentleman would, as a young man, he would develop a pseudonym of Zhang. And Zhang would begin to recollect upon the stories that his father would begin to set around the kitchen table and share with them dreams, desires, and hopes. Children, you can become anything that you want to be. And don't you let anybody stop you from becoming what you want to be. Don't you let anybody get in your ears, and don't you allow anything to get in your heart to allow there to be distractions, son and daughter. And so their father would prepare them to begin the escape. And in the pursuit of happiness, in the pursuit of safety, as Zhang would begin to recall the story, his father was murdered because the dictatorship said everything that you have known is non-existent. And so now there's a teenage boy and there's a teenage girl that made their way to America. How they made their way was never told, because of the fear of being caught and going under a pseudonym so that perhaps nobody would know his heritage or his past identity, because of the fear of being found out of where their lineage drew them back to. This gentleman would become an architect, and he would create a small art piece, if you would, and in that art piece, it would have a large basin, and that basin would be filled with water, and that large basin would be labeled as life. And from the large basin, there was PVC pipes that would run in a jagged, almost trail-like, because as it would begin to go down, it would begin to be more narrow as it would go to a smaller basin. And that smaller basin from where it would run, that trail would be labeled the hardness of life. And it would go to a smaller basin, it would be the decisions of life. Underneath there was a small swimming pool. And that small swimming pool, it would be labeled hopelessness because of the potential that would run over the hardness of life as it became more narrow going to the decisions of life. And what caught my eye as I began to look at this piece was there was a small nozzle on the bottom of decisions of life. And I began to watch underneath that nozzle where it would cause a singular drip, drip, drip. It was a constant drip. We're constantly making decisions. Underneath of that, Pastor Cross White, was a small piece of sandstone. It was hard. It was purposeful. And that small piece of sandstone was entitled The Frailty of Life. And over the course of time, as that drip would begin to hit the frailty of life in that stone, there was a wallowing out. And they had stones that were stacked up throughout and showing you the different time periods of when they would allow the water to drip so often. It didn't look like it was making a difference. It was so soft. That water was so, so tangible. But it would just run through the rock. It would run over it. It didn't look like it was making much of a difference. But as time would go on and as time leads on to ways, a wallowing out place of the stone literally became a perfect cut circle where the water would drip, and now the decisions of life no longer affected the frailty of life. There's not an individual in this building today that you woke up this morning with a decision on your mind to destroy yourself and to destroy your family. Nobody wakes up one day and turn on the light switch and you decide, today's the day I'm done. Today's the day I'm walking away. Today is the day that I give up living for God. Nobody woke up in that place. But over the time of spiritual erosion, the things that really don't matter is what matters the most. The things that you said have no effect right now is what will cause the greatest effect down the road. We realize that one day when we come looking face to face in the mirror, in the secret places of the heart is what is the anthem of our life, have now become the shadowy place of our relationship with God. It no longer matters that we fast and that we pray and that we keep ourselves under subjection to the things in which God has already tried to pull us away from. And we make up our mind that it's just a singular decision. It's just that little drop, Brother Maine, that it's not going to have much effect right now. But our vines still have tender grapes. We have desires to be used of God. We have desires to do great and marvelous things for God. But what are we entertaining that's going to so quickly come to the surface when we go back to that place to retrieve the fruit that we knew was on the vine? It's a prayerless life that produces powerless people. It's a prayerless life that ushers us in to the entertaining of what we said we would never entertain. My friend, you can never get over the things that you laid at an altar whenever you decide that I'm going to come and I'm going to repent. But when times get lonely and times get hard, I'm going to pick back up what I dedicated to God at that point. It's a decision point that we tried to hold on to. It really don't have much of an effect right now, young men. It really don't matter right now, young ladies. But years down the road, will we be finding ourselves to say, I wish I would have done something different. I wish that in that time and in that day, I would have gave heed to the voice that said, hold on a little while. Oh, don't do this. Come on now. Hey, I'm going to take you off the drums. I'm going to take you off the piano because there's things and there's fruit that is coming that is not profitable. And in them things, it's the wonderment of the mind. Oh, it really don't matter. But you better be thankful that you have a man of God that says it still matters. It still matters. Oh, I wish somebody could help me this morning, because whenever we say that it don't have much of effect right now, but as time goes on and time leads on to the way, it has a great effect. Because whenever people come in and they need things and we're not positioned to help anybody spiritually, it has such a great effect on us spiritually. Whenever we find ourselves prayerless and relationshipless, we entertain everything else, but we will always put on the back burner our relationship with Him, because we know that we can always run back to Him. We know that He will always be there, and we know that He is always going to extend His hand of mercy. Oh God, I know it's quiet. I know this isn't what we anticipated maybe on a Sunday morning, but it drew us so far away from the things of God. And I keep feeling our prayer life, our consecration, our dedication to the things of God. Oh, my friend, carnality will never usher in us to be spiritual.
Right.
But carnality, Brother Chad, it will always find a place for excuses. It will always find a place of coddling. It will always find a place, oh, my friend, that I don't feel like doing this right now, so I'm going to substitute this with what I know feels good. But we want to be used of God. We live in a generation of, and I'm going to say it, I know I'm in an apostolic church, but we live in a generation where we got people that want to be powerful, but they're not spiritual. They want to be in position, but there's no relationship. We got people that desire to look good, and we got people that desire to play the part. But whenever the part's ending and when the lights ain't shining, there's not a place of relationship. It don't match what they're doing. It don't match what is on the outside, because on the inside, we have quit.
Preach, Brother.
We fell in love with what's on the outside, but on the inside, when we're beholding ourselves in the mirror, the Bible describes us as being full of dead men bone. There's no building of internal braces for the outward pressure. So when the outward pressure becomes too much, we lean back on to a prayerless life. We lean back on to the things which we know. And then we say, God, where am I at? It's the decisions that you've been making. It don't matter right now. It don't matter right now. You may be able to fool somebody right now. You may be able to get through the night right now. But oh, when you entertain them things throughout time, there's a place where we get ushered in and we get wooed away by the singing of the lullaby of the world. Our voices grow so nigh to the voice of comfort and to the voice that would say, come, come. One major sign of erosion, I want every young person, please hear me right now. One major sign of erosion spiritually is that we start to rationalize our wrong choices with the justification that it's going to be okay and God still loves me. My friend, you will never conquer what you entertain. You can have the greatest preachers come through here. You can have the greatest voice of a pastor you would ever want. But there's only so much that he can do for you. And you got to start doing things for yourself. Pastor Cross White. Pastor Cross White. This and that. Pastor Cross White. There's things that you've told me to do I haven't done. And I've got by this far. But oh, what happens when the day comes that you come running back and you say, I should have listened. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that you do have a man of God that even though you messed up, you can come running back and you can say, I need help. Please help me. Not everybody has that. Not everybody has that opportunity. And so we go through life and life seems rough and life seems unfair. But what did you entertain that you said, I dedicated it to God, but now you fool with it? But Brother Main, you don't know what I've been struggling with. I don't need to know what you've been struggling with. I can tell you, my friend, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out. You can be around somebody 5 or 10 minutes and you can tell whether they have a prayer life or not. Because it's the evidence of what's on the inside that is going to permeate on the outside. We got marriages that are on the rocks because of prayerless marriages. We got families that are ready to leave the church and go somewhere else because of the disgruntledness within them because they are not being promoted the way that they desire, but they can't even see that the foxes have already started destroying the roots. They still look good on the outside. They're still in attendance. They're still doing things right. But there is an internal working that is going to lead to a place of destruction. It's bread that is eaten in secret. It's pleasant. And it's all that stolen waters are sweet.
That's right.
Oh, but the end results thereof. And now... now it's the gathering together. You know what I'm tired of, Brother Cross White. This is my third time preaching out since Brother McLean died and since I about died. I was laying in that hospital bed and Molly said people would be coming in my room and I'd be out of it. I'd just start talking and I asked her, I said, did you record me? There had to have been some accountability. I know I said some crazy stuff. And I was laying in that hospital bed. I'll never forget this. It was the third night. I had both arms, IVs going, and I was septic in my blood. I was septic in my organs. My fever wouldn't break, and I was... The surgeon told Molly, I don't think you understand how critical your husband is. Y'all talked to her and y'all knew what was going on. And I'll never forget it. I was laying in that hospital bed and as I was laying there and I didn't understand how sick I was. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning and there's a nurse that walked into the room and she woke me up. And I have no idea what she was talking about. I have no idea what she was doing. And Brother Hughes, if I've ever heard the voice of God talk to me, is at that very moment. It said, don't you allow to get to a place where you start slipping in your mind emotionally and mentally because I have made you to lie down. Don't you start getting disgruntled. Every one of you know Psalms 23. And he maketh me. It don't say that I chose to lay down. He maketh me. It's a forceful thing. So as I walked through the door this morning, the disgruntledness that I felt when I was laying in that hospital bed. God, why am I going through this? Why did our pastor just tragically die? And now why is this seeming like my life's falling apart? We canceled revivals for rest of the year. We didn't know what was going to happen. There's effects that happened. It's not just one decision that we made. It's one decision that led to another decision, another decision, another decision. And they seemed harmless. But at the end result of it, it mattered what decisions I was making at that moment. I could have chose to get to the place of bitterness because now my life was flipped upside down. I'm being transparent. I love this church and I believe in this church, and I need somebody to hear me and I need somebody to help me this morning. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, because in a place of unity is where we're going to find the mercy of God. But on an island unto yourself, sis, that's where we start allowing our mind to wander. And then what really don't matter ends up mattering the most, because that island, it can seem big for a moment. It can seem beautiful for a moment until that island starts closing in around you, and then you feel helpless. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody else today except Brother Zach. I'm just preaching to Brother Zach today, okay? He's the only one amening me and helping me right now. Brother Zach, there's been times, can I be transparent, Brother Cross? There's been times I wanted to give up and quit living for God because of how hard it was to live for God at that moment. But let me tell you something, in a place of relationship, when you start having them thoughts, you can run back to a place of prayer and you can say, God, I don't know why I'm thinking like that. God, I don't know why I am responding like that. But God, I am planting my feet. I am standing still because, God, the decisions I'm making right now, it's going to be a lasting decision. It's going to affect my wife. It's going to affect Genesis. It's going to affect Timley. And if I don't get my mind right now, I can have promises from God. I can have great aspirations of doing good things for God. But our vines have tender grapes. Until I go and harvest it, and I'm looking at a naked plant, no fruit. The decisions of life, it matters what you decide right now. Carnality is a thing that I'm seeing creep into the church, and I'm seeing men of God that won't even address it because it's too hard to address. It's too hard to talk about. Somebody's going to get offended. We need a generation of not only preachers, we need a generation of people that are willing to be spiritual. We don't need more church members. We need spiritual beings that are ready to live for God. I don't believe that we just need more counseling sessions. We need a prayer life. We need to say, God, I'm making decisions right now. Hey, it's that demising place. I could pass a microphone around right now to people. Y'all, why, y'all ready? Some of y'all as nervous as ever. Y'all's like, Mitchie, go back up there. Oh God. If I gave you the microphone right now and I said, what do you desire to do for God? Yes, there's so many people that go, whatever God wants me to do. You won't even do what God desires for you to do right now. So how are you going to say whatever God wants me to do? But if I gave you the microphone and I said, what do you desire to do for God? There would be such a great hesitation, because we have quit dreaming about becoming something for God because we're stuck in playing around in carnality. And carnal things today. There's missionaries, there's evangelists, there's pastors' wives, evangelists' wives, there's all across this building. But you can't even see it anymore. It's a carnal place. When's the last time we slowed down enough from being so busy that we said, God, I'm getting off social media. I'm quit listening to everybody else. And God, I want a relationship with you. Carnal things nobody wants to talk about. Because when we start saying that C word, it's like everybody just throws up a judgment flag. Oh, don't judge me. Don't, come on. I know that I'm not doing right now, but don't be holier than thou. It's not about that, folks. It's about plucking the fire bands from the fire and saying, hey, you got a soul and you still matter and there's still life in you. And if there's a life in you, then there is dreams, there's desires, there's hope, there's an anointing, there's a passion, there's a desire. But sis, what if Pastor Crosswhite seen it in you and you can't even see it in yourself now? Brother Maine, I've become so busy that I entertain things that I know is not going to be profitable for my relationship. There's a thing going around. I just heard some young... God, I'm skipping that. Because some of y'all use your excuse of why you struggle if I say that. Have mercy on me, oh God. You know what? I'm going to say it. I just heard some young people. Two of them was in Bible college. You know what they was talking about? He knows the intent of my heart. That's wonderful. I don't believe in premeditated repentance.
That's it.
He knows the intent of my heart. Yeah, he knows the intent of your heart. But that don't give you a license to sin. That don't give you a license to throw in the towel and say, I am done living for you, God.
Come on,
brother. And they started talking about premeditated repentance. I said, what in the world are you talking about? I ain't ever heard about it. I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Some of y'all's laughing, but it's a real thing right now. That as long as my heart is in a right place, I can do what feels good. This is creeping into the apostolic church. There may not be another evangelist preach against it, but I'm going to. I don't believe in you making up your mind that I'm about to go shack up, that I'm about to go and sin, that I'm about to go and fool around. Because God knows the intent of my heart. That should scare you that he knows the intent of your heart. It should scare you back to a place of repentance. Premeditated repentance. It's just it's what's ushered in. You know where that mentality comes from? It comes from the music that you're listening to. That doctrine comes out of Hillsong.
Come on.
Some of your favorite worship music. And ye know not what you entertain. But we know what we worship. That's in your Bible.
That's it.
It's the carnality. That as long as my heart's in the right place and he knows the intent of my thoughts. He knows the intent of my heart. I can be as carnal as I want to be as long as I show up and nobody knows what I'm doing. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me right now. I love this church, Brother Hughes. I believe in everybody in this church. But when I walked through the doors this morning, Pastor Crosswhite, if I can just freely say this, I tucked myself back in the corner over there and I began to beg God, God, would you please change what I feel right now? And he said, there's too much carnality right now. And so he's had to raise the voice of the man of God, and some of you are disgruntled with it. Why'd you set my kid down? Why'd you set my wife down? Why'd you set me down? It's for your own benefit. Hey, I hope that myself and Molly are building a good group of men around us right now, Brother Hughes. That if Brother Maine starts doing something stupid, I'm sorry if y'all don't say that word. That a Brother Maine starts doing something foolish, I hope I'm building myself with good men that can reach out and say, son, you better check yourself. Son, you better get things right. Son, you need to come back home for a little while. What do you mean? I'm not going to evangelize. No, you need to come home and you need to sit down for a little while. We need to get priorities right. Because you're powerful, but you're not spiritual. 2024 has been a year of reckoning. 2024 has been a year of ushering the good feelings in. But I hope that 25 is the ushering in of us going into the place where we can say, God, I submit myself to you voluntarily.
Jesus.
If we do that,
we'll see the greatest revival we've ever seen. Because you can't get excited about your church while you're fooling around with things. Because you're too scared of being found out. That's why, and I've said this to this church probably 5 or 10 times. I'm tired of going to apostolic churches, and the only place that this is a place of judgment. That's not right. It's not right. It's not biblical. So here in a moment, I don't know what your name says. Ricky? Tim. Nice to meet you. I think we've met before. I don't know. But here in a moment, if Sister Ricky decides to hop up, poof, gone. I'm going to get things right today. That does not tell me that she is full of sin. Sister Crossway, that tells me that Sister Ricky desires to get closer to God. But we are so, hold on, listen. We are so carnal, that if somebody walks through that door and they decide that morning, I felt the Holy Ghost tugging on me, so I want to get things right. We stand back and we let them fight that thing by themselves. That's a shame. Because carnality strips you of power. It strips you of being a spiritual person. You will never be able to discern the spiritual things while you're entertaining the fleshly things. God, have mercy. And so there is a tug of war of power. Pastor Crosswhite, I know I'm saying this public, and maybe I shouldn't, but I walked through them doors this morning, and Sister Crosswhite tried to hold the doors back, and I was like, please do. Please hold them back. And so I automatically walked in with bitterness. No, I'm joking. I walked through the doors. I walked that way, went to my little corner. I knelt down. And it said, clean the house. Clean the house. I ain't been here. I about died. God, I ain't been here in a long time. Well, we're going to clean up. Everybody looks great. Everybody's doing great. And some of y'all scared to death. I'm walking around. It's okay. Hello. And so I want God to intervene on my behalf. But I don't want to entertain God on my behalf. Sister Crosswhite, I'm closing if you want to help me. Or whoever the piano player is today. Give him some hope for a moment. Young man, what if what you've been playing around with is exposed? Would it embarrass you? Adults, what if what you've been entertaining is the demise of your family? Would you change it today? Not tonight. We may not make it back tonight. Brother McLean left the church. He just had a coffee and he hit a car and died. I don't think he anticipated on dying. I think he thought maybe tonight we'll have good church tonight. You better start getting excited about the things of God again. Amen. You know what? Here's the coolest thing in the world, okay? This is the coolest thing in the world. What's your name, sir? Praise the Lord, brother. I didn't even go. Freddie? Fredo. Pleasure to meet you, Fredo. What if today God set a call on him, but all we could see is, I don't know if God could do that. It's the carnality of man that never ushers in a spiritual place, sis. Because the carnal man entertains what carnality desires. You don't know why you're struggling living for God. You want to know why you're struggling to get up for church on a Sunday morning and a Thursday night? Brother Maine, I've had a hard week. We all have hard weeks. Come on, quit with that excuse. Has anybody had a hard week this week? Yes or no? Some of y'all are lying right now. They scared to death to answer. Have mercy on me, oh God. according, listen to me, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He that covereth his sin, listen, this is not my opinion. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. What really don't matter, Apostolic Lighthouse, I'm sounding the warning right now. It matters the most. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. Listen. He will have mercy upon him. If there's nothing else that gets you so excited this morning, it should be that the mercy of God can still reach you right now. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. Would you stand with me in this house? As I stood there looking at this art piece, Sister Rachel, right? I stood there looking, and my heart began to break because I know of the potential that's in Tim Maine. And then tears started flowing down my face, Brother Chad, as I looked at that long, narrow PVC pipe. Brother Hughes, it was windy. And the only thing my eyes could focus on was the water that was spilling over into that basin. And I said, God, how much time have I wasted? I didn't care who was around me. I was standing there. And a man whose heritage is unknown. Zang, there's still potential there. Robert Frost would pen a statement that would forever impact my life. Nothing can make injustice just but mercy. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask this good church, Pastor Crosswhite, I'm going to say something, and I need this church to listen to me, okay? I believe in speaking in tongues. That's the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But I also believe in communicating to God with your voice. Listen to me, listen. Here in a moment, I am going to ask everybody, guests, individuals that have not moved in a long time. It does not mean that you got sin in your life. It means that, God, maybe there's something that I desire more than what I have right now. Going to the altar is not shameful. But just don't walk up to the altar and lift your hands and talk in tongues for 15 minutes. Talk to him. God, I am sorry. God, I have slipped and failed. And when you start feeling that hand of forgiveness as tears are flowing down, that's when you need to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh my. So this morning, does it matter anymore, church?
Why don't you move from where you are right now? And men and ladies both, I'm asking, when you come up here, lift your voice. Don't matter about nobody. Come on, I'm asking everybody, nobody behind, please, please. I'm asking everyone, guest, I'm asking saint. Come on, I'm asking you to find a place of prayer. Come on, kneel down, lay before the Lord. God, I'm sorry. Come on, get comfortable in it. Come on, men. Some of you men need to break your heart today. Come on, please. Please.
Lord,
take
me back to that open mark.
God, get rid of the voice.
Lord, take me.
God, get rid of the social media.
To that
Rasha Tayalabo. Come on, there's men that got tears flowing down their face. Come on, pray.
And begin.
Come on, men.
A fresh.
Come on, ladies.
Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Lord, take me back to that old. to that olden mark where I'll make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that open mark. Lord, take me back to that open mark where I'll make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that open mark. Lord, take me back to that open mark where I'll make a new commitment.
Come on, if it's appropriate, man to man and lady to lady, why don't you reach around somebody and you pray for them the way you want somebody to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I'm done playing around. I'm done giving in to the voices. I'm done struggling. I'm done running through the course. Come on, church. Give him everything right now. Come on, God knows where you are right now. Have mercy on me, oh God. And when you feel the mercy of the Holy Ghost starting to flow, why don't you throw your hands in the air and pray in the Holy Ghost a little while? Jesus. Come on, that's it. Get lost in the Holy Ghost.
Shandanarabaka. Take me back.
Yes, hallelujah.
Take me back to
I wish
Lord,
some of you elder men and some of you elder ladies would find a younger person. Put your hands on them. Tell them, I've made decisions. Come on, men. Come on, ladies. Help me today.
Believe.
Yes.
Take me back.
Come on, that's it.
Take me back to
come on, you elder men, find a young man.
The place
you elder ladies, find a younger lady.
Receive you.
Take me back.
Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed.
Come on, I'm telling you, God is well able.
Dear Lord, to the place where I first
received
Jesus.
Jesus.
Take me back, dear Lord.
Come on, that's it. Come on, don't be so quick to quit praying right now.
Take me back.
Come on, God's moving.
Take me back.
Rashanda da da bako.